Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Membership PR Fundraising Group. First of all, we want to go around and find out who's here. So could you give us your name and what chapter you're with? And that way we kind of know who's here, since all of us can't see all of you.
Can you see me now?
I'll hand the microphone here, and if you can just pass it around until we get everybody, okay? I'm Artis Bazin, by the way, from Burbank Glendale, or Glendale Burbank, whatever you want to say.
John Ross, Greater Bakersfield chapter. I am also co-chair of the fundraising committee, and I'm here, and we will go.
Deborah Thompson, Capital Chapter.
Christy Crespin, Active Blind Inland Valleys Chapter.
Melissa Hudson, Greater LA Chapter.
Preston Moses, Alameda County Chapter Delegate.
Steve Mendelson, shortly to be a member of the Bayview Chapter in San Leandro.
Bill Gillespie, Redwood Empire Chapter.
Maria Wong, Redwood Empire Chapter.
Bob Brenner from the Orange County Chapter.
Okay, that's everyone.
Okay, well, welcome to all of you. We were supposed to have a speaker today from the Lions Club International Group, and I'm going to let John talk about the Lions Club because he canceled about 10 days ago. So since he's not going to be here, I'm going to let John talk to you about Lions and how they are a benefit to us and how they can help us, and possibly we can assist them. So give it over to John.
Okay. Okay, how many here have heard of Lions Club?
Yeah. I'm a Lion member.
You are? Great. What club?
Santa Rosa Host.
Santa Rosa Host. I'm Bakersfield Host. Okay. Anyways, Lions Club and Centero Lion, you can help me out if I slip up, okay? Lions Club was founded in 1917 by a businessman named Elwin Jones. And it began as a group of businessmen who wanted to give back to their community. And so one of the clubs that they were was a member of the gathering was called the Lions Clubs. So the whole group adopted that name, and over the years it grew and grew and grew, and then in the early 20s it became international with a club forming in Canada, I believe. And then in 1925, at their convention, Helen Keller, who we all heard of, was their keynote speaker, and she challenged the Lions to be Knights of the Blind. Okay, and since Lions Club's founding mission is to help fight all forms of preventable blindness. Okay, and over the years, all the clubs have worked with a different groups doing things to be of assistance for those who are blind, such as offering free vision screenings, and the clubs will collect used glasses and take them down to Mexico and let them be fitted for the people there. And the reason we don't use them here in the U.S. is, from what I understand, there are laws that say that you aren't allowed to give out used glasses. Okay. Well, Lions has here up in San Francisco what's called the Lions Eye Foundation, and it's a clinic and a hospital, and they perform free eye surgeries for those who otherwise wouldn't be able to have them. And
what was the name of that again?
The Lions Eye Foundation. Okay, and it's here in Frisco. Oh, and they perform eye surgeries and just various forms of eye treatments. And lots of things. So the ways we can work with Lions is, if any of you were around a club, you know, and possibly join, you know, because a lot of clubs don't really have any blind members, you know. So I mean, that would be a good way for us to get our name out and make ourselves known. And there's a website. It's lionsclubs.org. And on there, you can find out all about Lions Clubs. Questions?
How much of a commitment? Because I looked into it, but it's expensive.
To join the club. Well, you have to be willing to work on, work when you're assigned, you know, and various clubs are different, you know. When I joined my club, it's an initial fee of $50, and then you pay your monthly dues. And work on various club projects when you're able. Questions?
And how often do you meet? My prospective club meets on, and I think like $300.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's our club. We're a lunch club. We eat twice a month on the second and fourth Wednesdays for lunch, and that's our club. And all clubs are different. Okay. Anything else?
Our club in Burbank, I'm not a member, but one of our chapter members is a member, Rick Plath. He belongs to it, and it also does meet twice a month, the second and fourth Thursday of the month. So it is, you know, a time commitment. Plus, of course, they have projects which they you don't want you to work on. Our chapter in Burbank does give anyone who would like a ride to our monthly meetings, they give rides to the people living in Burbank, bringing us to the Glendale restaurant where we meet. So sometimes if you build up good ties in your Lions clubs, then they're willing to assist you with giving you rides. In fact, they give us rides to, like, Christmas parties, and if we have fundraisers, they'll give some people rides to the fundraisers, like when we have a Shakey's Pizza night, mm-hmm. and we have another meal function type fundraiser, they'll bring members to it. If they're in Glendale Burbank area, I mean, they don't like to go. I mean, we went to one in L.A. that was a little farther away, but they prefer if we, you know, kind of stick to them a little bit closer in the area. But you can sometimes work out relationships, which is going to help your members in your group. But you probably have to have at least one member of your chapter that's willing to participate. And one thing you might be able to do, it depends on your chapter treasury, of course, you might designate, if there's a member in your group that would be willing to participate with them, you might help them pay for a membership, because it might be advantageous for your chapter to participate. Anybody else have comments or suggestions about Lions Clubs or questions for John?
Well, one thing we have in Bakersfield, we have our local Center for the Blind, and our club will help them raise funds, you know, in the form of, pancake feeds and barbecue. He was in working various events, you know. So Lions Club has its benefits, you know.
I know there's a problem with guidelines for Lions
Yeah, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, it used to be huge. And over the years, as you know, as people's lives changed, with both husband and wife working, made it hard to have a membership, you know, for the time and everything. One question that I have for you, any of you dog users, is our club is in the process of raising money to to give to a guide dog school. What school would you recommend that we give to?
Well, let's see. How many people are in the guide dog? I'm sure everybody has their preference.
GDB.
Guide Dogs of America.
I would like to see us, whatever school we support, the California club. I'd really like to see it support California.
GDC?
Well, there's three schools in California.
Okay, so there's one in.
Yeah, there's Guide Dogs of America and one.
Okay, so where is the GDB at in San Rafael? Okay, that's what I thought.
GDB is the largest of the schools. It has two campuses.
Okay.
Located in San Rafael and Boring, Oregon. Guide Dogs of America is basically one of a smaller school, and it's located in Sylmar.
And Guide Dogs of the Desert is the smallest school, and it is located in Desert Hot Springs, but it is moving to Heaven.
Okay.
A close friend of mine has gone to Guide Dogs of America.
Let me find real fast.
And he's getting another guide dog. So the first one has problems, climbing out of the street and stuff like that. So he's now going back eventually to probably get it, trying in the mall to get another guide dog from them. So he found that it was the fact that they were a small school. It just seemed like they were pretty. They did have a strict regulation. Like he had heart trouble, and the guide dog was just not going to let him in San Rafael because of the heart trouble. But yeah.
The Guide Dogs of America and Guide Dogs of the Desert, basically Guide Dogs of the Desert have trainers that came from Guide Dogs of America. That's one of the reasons why I went there, because I followed the trainers. I felt comfortable either way.
Right.
But Guide Dogs of America and Guide Dogs of the Desert will work more closely with people with disabilities. They will also work more flexibly with people who need to be in different types of training situations. For instance, I've had two in-home trainings through Guide Dogs of America, and I've had one. Basically, I created my own training itinerary with Guide Dogs of the Desert, and I trained with the students, too. It was two students in the class, and me as a home training. So I worked with the students for a couple of events, and then basically did the rest on my own.
See, so, but then again, you know, then I'm gonna, you know, go for Guide Dogs for the Blind, and I have another disability. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I go, each school has, and you all have your own personal interest, you know. And I have a disability, and I work very closely with GDD, and I, you know, so. It's going to have to be, you know, their local chapter is going to, you know, have to make a decision. I don't think each one has.
Go ahead.
Back up there. How is it decided that you give to one or more guide dog schools, let's say, these other kinds of organizations or courses? How is that decision made?
I know John had to step out of the room a minute, so I'm not sure why they're, you know, Lions Club is going to do that. So you'll have to ask him when he comes back. Sorry about that.
Well, again, Lions Clubs are, you know, they do participate with the Guide Dogs organizations.
I mean, maybe they've never had somebody from CCB come and do a presentation about what CCB does, and maybe if you had somebody from CCB go and talk to them, maybe they would donate to CCB instead of a, you know, right?
Yeah, they're not going to donate to companies.
You know, they'll donate to blindness organizations, but maybe,
yeah.
But maybe that's what they're saying, that Lions Club could help. But if Lions Club doesn't really know about CCB, or no one locally is going to come over and talk about, you know, hey, here's what, you know, CCB does, here's what our membership, here's what, you know, we're an advocacy group, and then, you know, give them a presentation, right, then maybe the Lions Club would go, oh, they're a good group to give, you know, on our annual, I'm sure they have their annual donations that they set aside.
Well, my understanding was from when John was speaking earlier that he referred that they did help them with different chapter fundraisers in the CCB there, but this was just one more other project that they were going to handle. So I didn't get the impression that they weren't helping, you know, CCB. I think this was just, at least that was what I gathered from what he just said. Yeah, so it's different area. Okay, was there any other things on Lions? Otherwise, we're going to move on to some membership topics.
Okay.
Oh, they had a question about the I want to know if I understood you correctly. They also help your CCB group, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Money-wise, when we sell tickets, you know, our club will purchase a few books to help us out, and when we have our dine in the dark, that they will sponsor a table, you know, and send up people to help serve food and clean up, and you know, just help out.
Sure. Hold on, I'm coming.
You have to basically pretty much spit in it.
My name is Bill Gillespie. I'm a member of the Lions Club in Santa Rosa. And our club collects eyeglasses. Last year, our club collected over 90,000 pairs of eyeglasses. We also, the Lions Club has a hearing aid program. And if anyone needs a hearing aid and they can't afford it, if they go to the Lions Club and say they have a doctor's prescription, Lions will help purchase hearing aids for people. Also, in the country of China, the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis, and Lions was trying to get into China. And the only service club that's in the country of China is Lions. And our club also today is having a fundraiser for Canine Companions. All the money that is raised today is going directly to help CCI. Our club isn't taking one dime. All the manpower and everything's being donated. And Monday, my sister-in-law is going on one of the trips to Mexico to go down there and try to help people, give sight to people with glasses. And every year, the Lion International has a float and a rose parade. And we also do fundraisings in our club. During the holidays, we feed the homeless. We raise money for White Canes, and it's a great organization to get involved with.
Thank you. Okay.
Talking about Mexico, one of our local doctors, he takes a crew of surgeons, and once a year we'll go down and perform eye surgeries for free. Okay, any other questions or comments?
No, I think you should give to all three schools.
Well, we want to pick one because we're looking to raise between 5 and 10,000. So,
okay.
Tomorrow, we have to get
lunch in,
and there'll be representatives from all
the kids. Okay. Okay. The next segment is going to be on. I have brought some documents here from, I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that the American Council of the Blind membership committee has quarterly focus calls, and we encourage all affiliates to have a representative or two to participate in those calls. And I brought some documents from the last three focus calls. And the topics for those calls were, the first one was, how can your officers and board members communicate more effectively with your members? Another document is, how can we complete our business more efficiently? And the third one is fundraising for ACB activities and conventions, including the national convention. And I have them available here in large print and in Braille. And also, if you're on the membership list serve that we have, the CCB has a membership list serve. I sent those out day before I left on that list serve. If you're on that list serve, so you would have gotten them. And that was my next thing. if anyone in here would like to get on the membership listserv, if you either give me your email address at the end or email me when you get back home, and I would gladly have you placed on that membership list, because we'd like to have at least one person from every chapter on that membership list, because we do circulate different articles, and it's a good way for people to communicate about membership tips and ideas. I wanted to ask you, in this group, we're as committee chairs for membership fundraising, and of course Ken couldn't make it to the convention for public relations, we would really like to know what kind of topics you'd like us to discuss in the future, and also what format you'd like. We've done breakfast. The last three conventions we did a breakfast seminar, and we had a pretty decent attendance. And this time we decided to not opt to do the breakfast, because I heard concerns from people about the expense for going to the breakfast. And so we would like to hear you, and we're also going to put it out on the president's list since we don't have all chapters represented here. We'd like to hear from you guys if you like the Friday afternoon 4:15 time, you'd like the Saturday morning breakfast seminar. What would work out better for you?
I like this.
How about others of you here? Well, the 4:15 time slot on Friday would be the same things opposite, because the other committees that meet on Friday meet at Friday all the time. And Saturday afternoon, if we switched it to Saturday, then we'd be opposite governmental affairs and forget the other ones that meet on Saturday afternoon. But, of course, the breakfast slot, the only thing you're opposite on Saturday morning for the breakfast would be the education group meets on Saturday. Well, that's later, though. That's later, because the guide dog users don't start till 8:30, whereas we were having ours at 7 a.m. So,
yeah. Since I'm not a morning person, I like this one better.
So, anyway, we want your comment first on the time thing, and then later on the topics, the issues that you're having that you'd like to see us cover. I know last time we had ours, we did it on sponsorships. I don't know if you saw my follow-up article in the BC on sponsorships. So anyway, anybody, one person said they liked this time slot better. How about others of you?
It was this, or I'm sorry, breakfast when?
Breakfast on Saturday morning.
No, this one.
Well,
it depends. Are we going to do more in a breakfast than you could do in this time slot here?
Well, the breakfast is an hour and a half. This is basically an hour, not even. It's an hour max. If you can get started at 4:15, it's an hour, but we usually can't get started till 4:30 because it takes people
to run to get.
So, yeah, it's 45 minutes. Yeah, it's usually 45 minutes at this time slot.
I can't stay till 5:30 because
I have to go to the president's.
I got to go pretty soon to take Caroline out and stuff, so it's I don't like this time, really.
Right.
I'm exhausted after the meetings and before dinner or whatever, or sometimes people are trying to meet friends, and I guess the proof is in the pudding. How many people were at the breakfast?
We've had anywhere from, I think the biggest one we had 32, and the least one I think last time we had 20.
And how many do we have here?
But I think we have 10, 9 or 10.
So I think
yeah.
The proof is in the
pudding. Because I think you've got a longer time, you probably can really cover a lot more things instead of being rushed.
Right. Well, and it's harder to plan for a shorter period of time because, well, of course, we were planning to have a speaker, so. But others of you, we heard from a couple people over here. How about the other table over there?
Morning.
Morning, okay. How about is your chapter willing to pay for a person from your chapter to come to the membership breakfast so you don't have to pay for it personally, or you don't mind paying for it personally? That's what we were kind of wondering, if you have issues that way. I think the next time they said it was 24, isn't that right, Jeff? Did Jeff leave?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
24, 25.
It has varied. I think the cheapest one we did was 18, and the last year I think it was 22. But they said something today about 24. But I'm thinking maybe we can ask the board to give us the same fee as what they charge for the luncheon. I'm going to ask about that because they charge for the luncheon $20, and
everything's going up next year.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to 20.
No.
Or 25?
No, everything's going up.
The lunches are going to be like...
25?
Yeah, everything's
going up. Okay, I thought they were just going up $5, so, okay.
Everything's going up.
Okay. So I'll find out about what the cost would be. But we could put it out on the membership list and the president's list, maybe just asking if chapters would be willing to pay for one of their members to come to the membership, because that makes a difference. You know, if the chapters are each willing to pay for one person, then people don't have to pay for it out of their pockets either. So that was one reason why we wanted to move to this time and kind of see what people felt and if they didn't mind paying for it. Or
eat anyway.
Yeah, you have to eat anyway, but you could probably get by with 12 or 15 in the restaurant, depending on what you wanted to eat.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting thing that's present. I have noticed, just it doesn't matter what organization you belong to, whether it's a blind organization or not, whatever it is, if food being involved makes it somehow more, what do you think?
Well, and I do think, and I think one thing we've tried to do at the breakfast ones too, we've tried to involve the people. Even when we've had speakers, we've always tried to get the audience to be able to participate, and I think people like that. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
I think people don't like it if there's just someone talking and then they have to leave. I think they, you know.
One question. We have tomorrow at 4:15, we have the fundraising committee meeting. How would you all feel, say, if in the fall and in the future, you know, rather than have a separate fundraising meeting, if we had, you know, like a combo meeting and have it all in one, you know, a membership, PR, and fundraising all in one? Yeah.
Well, last time, when we did the sponsorships, it actually helps all three, so it worked together. But not all topic. I mean, it depends on probably the topic.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys have? What kind of needs do your chapters have as far as what kind of assistance do you need?
Everything.
Everything, all of them.
Very small. We're trying to stay together.
Okay.
We've got 16 members.
Okay.
And we're just trying to stay afloat.
Now, where's your chapter at?
We meet at the East Bay Center for the Blind in Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
When you say afloat, you mean money-wise?
Well, partly that. Well, you know, partly that. But what just mainly is kind of keeping people wanting to do things. You see,
coming, yeah.
It has been for several years now. A lot of people have been just getting dinners, going to dinners, you know, now we've just been so excited that we'll move and everything seems to be the same day that other, every like baby chapter, every other chapter is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think numbers is the deal as much as the people, because we have 36 members in our chapter, but there's basically four of us
80-20 rule
have to push and push to get, you know, things done. It's basically just a few people. I don't know. How about other chapters?
Mm-hmm.
Is that issue?
I'm wondering how many. I'm curious as to how many people, how many members are in each of the chapters represented here?
I'm.
What's your chapter treasury right now?
Bakersfield. We have 21 members, and our treasury right now is about a little under 1,200.
Chapter we have we had 2,000 but then our last chapter meeting we voted to buy 100 bags so we could sell them for a fundraiser, so that blew half of ours plus our delegates. So but we're hoping to recoup that. Of course, we're going to sell all of our bags. Come to the exhibits tomorrow. We're selling really nice business bags.
They are. They're really nice for $15.
They're kind of like a briefcase bag. No, we did not put a logo on them because we thought we could sell more because people can use them for business. And $15.
Were you there today? Were they?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was there till 1. Now Rick Plath is there now. But it's in the center aisle in the rows. It's the center row. But how about the other ones of you? How was your treasury and your membership?
Sure.
We have 36.
Oh, Melissa? I'm trying to remember.
You got about $700 in there.
25 the last
time. Okay, this is Bob Rennie from the Orange County chapter. And in January, I'm a treasury for our local chapter. And we had 4 people at the meeting in January. And I made the suggestion we go to a restaurant and try increase the membership. And the next month in February, we had 20 people. So we went from 4 to 20 in 1 month. And we had about 4 new people we've never seen before. So,
do you think it was because you used to meet in a church, or don't you think that had anything to do
with
it?
We meet at a church across the street from the Breuer Institute.
Right, right. Sometimes people can get, you know, a little funny about that, you know. Wouldn't bother me, but I mean, I know some people it might. Food people, yeah. So maybe if you had it catered in at the church, you know, maybe you'd still get a good group. It's hard to say.
But the problem is, you know, you can't go to the Prayer Institute and promote your group there.
Oh, okay.
So what's your treasury?
The what?
Your treasury?
The treasury? How much money do we have? Our local chapter has about $2,000, that's all.
Okay.
And how many members?
23. 23 for 5 million people living in Orange County.
Yeah, I know.
Melissa? Probably now under 2 now because of the delegates and everything.
Is there, who else is at your table over there? Do you know how many members you have and how much your treasury is about?
No.
Okay.
It's always that thing with, like, memberships and stuff. It's like you've got, like, 4 people who always go, and you always got those people who just go because it's a social thing. And
Right.
Thing, you know, unfortunately, that's... They just come and it's not, you know, there's always that, you know, one of the issues. And like you said, there's just a core group of people who actually, you know, do something and make change. And then
well, I used to be
sits and wants to talk about change.
That's right.
Actually wants
to do anything. It's like the sweepstakes tickets. We got sent 20 tickets, right?
Right.
Well, Ed and I bought 15, and we sold 5. So I hope we win tomorrow.
Well, our chapter decided to buy 10 as a chapter, but nobody bought any besides Kevin and I. So,
I mean, and then we talk about doing fundraisers, and people come up with these bright ideas, but they don't want to buy anything. When we have 50-50 raffle tickets, they don't want to buy them. When we, you know, the sweepstakes stuff, they don't want to participate in it. And then they are wondering why we're not making any money as a chapter.
Well, now, our chapter is very good at 50-50 tickets. In fact, if we forget the 50-50 tickets, we're in trouble. Because they all like to buy, and I would say the majority of them buy 6 for $5.
Yeah, well,
I think we have 5 people that buy a single, but most of them buy more, and that's kind of like their highlight. Is the 50-50 thing. Yes, but we also do 2 restaurant things a year. We do one at a Shakey's Pizza Place where we get 25% of the food proceeds, and then we do that in the spring, and then in the fall we do one at the California Pizza Kitchen last fall where we get 20% of the receipts. They don't have to do anything. All they have to do is hand out the flyers to we've handed them out to the members, and they have to take them in with themselves. Very few of them invite any of their friends.
Really?
I pass them out at my networking groups and my church groups, but very few of them pass them out to anybody. But they do go.
Stand at the door.
But they do go and come.
Do you stand at the door?
You're not allowed to.
No.
Well, you just hand them out to people you see, and we hand them out to the chapter members. And we do have a lot of people that the chapter members, a lot of them go. About 2/3 of our group goes to those. It's more of a social. See, it's another place to have food.
Our chapter is too spread out because if we did it like in reference to where we started to do it, and then people
include
it, it's
like... Yeah, I think it's frustrating. Like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Fundraising, like, I have a big issue with fundraising, but I feel like we're just fundraising
ourselves.
Yeah, amongst ourselves. I'm giving you $10, you give me $10.
Right.
Right.
Have a thing and invite your local council person or whatever to come.
Right.
But if they don't, fine. But you know what I mean? I was like, we need to spread out. I mean, we go to the Glendale Burbank, you guys come to LA.
Right.
We go to
Right.
I mean, we're just fundraising
ourselves, right? It's basically social. It's basically going to a social event. I think it's more of socializing, and we're fundraising at the same time as we're socialing with our friends.
So, would any of you come to the local in the area? That's why it's real hard for outlying chapters to do fundraising.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right.
Because we'd have to take
and
access.
And maybe that's
to, you know
right.
what I mean. And then
they're taking a train.
And maybe that's a big discussion that we need to have. Is that, first of all, our members, like half of us are working and the other half aren't working, and there's probably a reason for that.
Well, and it seems like the ones that are working are the ones that are more willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And that causes an issue for me. I know I'm overcommitted. I'm overcommitted.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's tough when you have to rely on the same. I used to be real active in 2 chapters, Greater LA and Glendale Burbank. And I just, the last 2 years, I mean, I still pay my dues for Greater LA, but if I make it to 1 or 2 meetings during the year, I go to their fundraisers, but that's it. I just don't have the time, to put that much time into 2, chapters. So
we have to start thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
I think so too. Well, that's why we did the last time we did the topic of sponsorships, because it's actually asking other organizations to sponsor some of our events. But that takes time and effort. You have to write the letters, you have to do the follow up, and it actually takes the personal contact with some of these groups.
Good job on that.
Yeah, so
The food for the barbecue donated. it and things like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And most we have our membership committee. We have seven people on the membership committee, and if any of the chapters want someone to come out and talk to their group. I know I've gone to Christy's chapter and a couple of times in the last few years. And I know, and I've gone to Orange County. Of course, the one time I went to Orange County, we had, four people come? But it was still, a good, good meeting. But I think it's and I know there's members in our on the committee that are up north too. So if people want someone to come out and talk, that's fine. But what kind of topics would be best for you guys? I know you said generally membership fundraising. Any particular? Your question was good, and how to do it without.
I mean, how can we fundraise outside of fundraising within our own, within CCB chapters?
How to fundraise without being, okay.
And without selling stuff like seed candy or stuff that people say, oh, let's do that. And then who are the people that end up doing it?
Yeah, right. Right. Retaining members. Right. Well, and that's... Actually, these flyers I brought along, this two of the topics here, that's the reason for them, is how can your officers and board communicate with your members. I think one of the key problems in our organizations a lot of time is communicating with our members. If people don't show up, does anybody call them and say, hey, how come you weren't there? We missed you, et cetera. And another, another topic was how can we complete our business more efficiently? Sometimes we spend so much time on business at our meetings, we don't spend enough time getting to know our members and having speakers come. I know one thing we've implemented in the Glendale Burbank chapter the last couple of years, and the members love it, is when we don't have an outside speaker, we have two or three members share about their lives, how they lost their sight, what they do, what groups are involved in, if they have a job or had a job, what they did and how they got into it, what kind of education they needed to get into it, and just tell us about themselves, their family, etc. And the members have really loved that, because you go to a meeting and how many times do you go home and you say, gee, I wish I knew what that person did, or you don't know a thing about the members in your group. And we've, our chapter really likes that.
Hey, our chapter this year is doing a fundraiser, a concert event.
So what? You're doing a concert?
You want? How are you doing? You really have to fight into.
Yeah, I do mics all the time. So now this year we're doing a concert event, and basically the few people who work are doing the event. But basically, I'm a singer, so I'm actually going to be doing the whole thing. But I have my fundraising committee who's out there doing the flyers and all of that stuff. They're working, and I'm talking to our membership committee, and she's bugging people. But she's good at it. That's her talent. She's good at talking to people. So I think basically what we're doing is we've got plans, like for the next, I don't know how many weeks it's going to be, I will actually be going into other people's activities like church services and singing a couple songs, and we're going to put out flowers. We're just really trying to invite the public, and our chapters are getting reduced prices, and we're charging everybody else double. It's actually going to be in a church downtown in Sacramento, and it has good acoustics and things, so...
Okay, one more thing tomorrow, come out for the fundraising committee meeting, because we're always looking to hear from you, from the members about how to help CCB raise funds, and then share your own ideas of what you're doing locally. Last year, one of the audience members came up with was those shares cards. You know those cards you use when you go to Food Max or Food Co. and you swipe it, and then CCV gets 4%, I guess, or whatever it is. But at
3%.
Okay, and but you know that whole idea came from the fundraising committee, and all it took was one member saying, "Hey, why don't we try that?" You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably was you. It probably was you. And it's working.
And I'm gonna speak at that group.
All right, so that needs to be publicized.
Yeah. And I thought it's something else we're doing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get going because I got
to. Yeah, I got to. That's
what I. Were you through, ma'am?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. That was a good idea. Good idea. I was telling you something like that, but we don't have anyone in our chapter to do that. Well, I can do sticking and singing, but I'm always afraid to volunteer to do something like that. I don't want people thinking I'm thinking that sounds pretty.
Yes.
Well,
you know?
we've had several concerts in our over the years that have been. This year, we're actually. The only reason I'm doing it instead of having other people involved is we've had too many egos going on.
Right. Well, I would say that's my concern. I don't like to say, well, I can do that. You know, it sounds like you're fighting me.
Well, you know, if you've got the skills to do it.
You in a choir?
Oh, yeah, I'm in two choirs.
Well, thanks all of you for coming. I appreciate it.